This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. We have a beautiful cloudy day here in Honolulu and just excited. It's a nice fall or autumn day. You can't argue with the quality of the air and everything. Anyway, what we're doing here, hopefully we're having just a little electrical problem here. But we got hands on it now. So anyway, what I wanted to do today is we'll call it Scattergory, I guess, talk about a bit of everything. But there are a few points that I think they all relate to the conditions we have here in the state of Honolulu and also in national level. So often we talk about, we see government agencies and entities claiming or proclaiming they're successful, but they need more money. So I guess what I would like to say about all of that, with my experience and understanding of what is really going on behind the scenes and what is being presented, we really don't need any more money. In fact, I believe that in the future, due to the economical meltdown and the other issues that we have, we really don't need to give more money to government, because basically they're wasting it, and not only are they wasting it, they're not being responsible fiscally or just simply responsible for what they're doing. So we don't need more dollars and cents. What we need is more common sense. And the agencies that work together, they have their own missions, but it seems that they're disjointed. They don't communicate with one another. And then we'll try to lay that out, but you've heard me talk earlier on different shows about the City and County of Honolulu, the Department of Land and Natural Resources, even the federal government, federal levels. And what we have is a big problem. Some of you know that here in the city level, Mayor Mufi Hanneman argues with the Environmental Protection Agency that he does not wish to upgrade, or he should not be required to upgrade. Well, an interesting thing just developed there at the Sand Island Wastewater Treatment Plant, the very plant that the mayor refuses to upgrade. And that is, I discovered in my efforts that the Sand Island Wastewater Treatment Plant is not classified, which means in order to operate it, or a portion of it, which is Senegro, let me clarify something. It is a portion there at Senegro that is not classified. And the workers there for Senegro are not certified by the state board. And so, therefore, that gives an explanation as to why we have so much gas leak and hydrogen sulfide and methane gases at the plant. And the plant is actually some multi-million dollar project that the mayor touts, and in fact, what he's done, this plant is not certified, the Synagrow plant. So I wrote the state health department and complained, and they wrote me back here just in the last couple of days on the subject. And basically what they say, the Board of Certification of Operating Personnel and Wastewater Treatment Plants has received your complaint concerning the certification classification of the Synagrow plant at Sand Island Wastewater Treatment Plant site. At the board's meeting October 1, 2008, members agreed that the Synagrow plant needs to be classified by the board and have certified operators. How is it that Mayor Mufi Hanneman could allow his agency or his Environmental Services Department chief to engage in a practice with a company or entity that doesn't have a certification and then stands and vehemently argue with the EPA and initiate a campaign with all of his professionals that he brought forth? They didn't speak to the fact that the plant at Synagrow, the Synagrow plant, was simply operating unlawfully. So much for big money, big bucks, and a $3 million campaign. What I'd like to know, he needs to tell us the things that we need to know. So, anyway, that's one. Secondly, we had a show talking about the Capital Body Services, where there was spray paint coming from the spray booth at a body shop in Kalihi. So that is an ongoing problem, but I've been contacted by the state health department, and they assured me they are working on it. Now, this is after a year and a half they've been working on it, but this time they assured us that they will be working. But in the interim, meanwhile, there's been two incidences where the residents there, one of the residents had to have oxygen administered, and hazmat team called out to address the issue, and the fire department and the police came and intervened. So for those people there in the housing unit adjacent to that plant, we hope that they, we will get some relief, but hang in there, and we can see how government works. And we also found that the Department of Planning and Permitting under the City and County of Honolulu has allowed the facility to operate without finalizing conditions of its building permit, so therefore it would be illegal. So this is what you and I as citizens have to put up with when we hear we need more money. I don't think we need more money. We just need to buy better services. But that is just one of the many things. And also, I was able to get something that you've heard us talk about, the Department of Land and Natural Resources. And what I was able to obtain was information, some of the results of a Division of Conservation and Resource Enforcement Strategic Plan of 2008 report on stakeholder survey. And my, is it chock full of some of the things we've talked about on air here. And it is absolutely revealing and quite comforting to know that there are others out there that see the same things we see. So we're not paranoid, or we're not just sitting around, you know, backroom quarterbacking or what have you. These are real issues, and some of the issues are just so clear as to what they wish to have done. And I'm going to be reading straight from my notes that came from this program, this project. Regarding in the DLNR now, change and or improve leadership, this is, they had, I'm told, 19 responses, and I'm going to read exactly what was said by the respondents to the survey, or the stakeholders. They need new leadership, meaning in DLNR, new leadership. They need, and these are quotes now, get rid of Gary Moniz and David Gowd, incompetent and inept to mission. Replace Gary Moniz as, quote, he is an embarrassment to all of DOCARE at DLNR and the state. New leadership as current chief is very difficult to work with. Remove, replace our current administrator. Now, they didn't identify, was it Thielen, Paul Humus, or Dan Moriarty, or Dan, I'm sorry, Gary Moniz, or Dan, I'll think of his name in a bit for State Parks, but Dan Quinn, or anyone. It just says get rid of the leaders, the administrators. Remove incompetent leadership and replace with experienced law enforcement personnel. Retrain and or replace administrative management staff. Remove the current leadership and replace with new leaders. Recommend strong leadership geared to the proud law enforcement entity that DOCARE is, the Department of Conservation and Resource Enforcement. Chief needs enforcement background. Get off your high horse and become a team player. These are comments now that were provided to the State Department of Land and Natural Resources in their stakeholder survey. The better leadership management, change leadership, restructure the top management personnel, need a leader who is pro-law enforcement rather than anti-law enforcement, install proactive administration to get results in the districts D2 and 3 under T. Tanaka and Wes Mundy. New leadership, terminate David Gowell on ethical and moral grounds since he is convicted a convicted poacher in Alaska. Retrain and or replace administrative management staff. Now, I'm not going to bore you with the entire list, and hopefully in the coming near future we'll have these things posted at our website at carolcox.com. That's C-A-R-R-O-L-L. And how does this all relate to you and me and anything to do with the resources? Well, it has a lot to do with it. And then let's look at something else. You've not heard me talk much about the federal government agencies, but what I'm going to do is share with you, and they may appear to be unrelated, but keep in mind these are natural resources agencies tasked with managing our natural resources, whereas the Environmental Services Department in the city and county of Honolulu, though they're not managing natural resources directly, they are the environmental impact, the Environmental Department services, which will their decisions and actions actually has an impact on the natural resources. If you're putting out sewage water that is not treated, then that has a great impact on the natural resources, the coral reef, the marine mammals, the fish, the people. So it's all directly related, but there is this disjoint. This disconnection, and it's, you know, an observation that I made is if you ever watch ants, and if you pay close attention, they have a mission. They're working for the better good of that ant colony. You don't see one ant get a piece of bread or whatever and run the other way. But unlike ants, human beings, for some reason, what we have done now, especially when it comes to politics and in government, we don't seem to be managing or working for the good of humankind. We don't seem to be working for the good of the planet. We don't seem to be working good for animals. We don't seem to be working good for anything but parties, politics, and partisan politics. And I think that would be the death of us. I don't believe that there is going to be a great attack. I think we're attacking ourselves internally and with our morals and our values or lack of values. And I say that, and follow me. I don't want to sound like I'm just scatterbrained here. But hopefully you go away with a particular point that I'm trying to make, and that is that all of these agencies, state, city, county, federal, have a common goal, the mission originally, but for some reason, they're not doing that. So, what happens is, let's look at the National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA. But in this case, we'll call it the National Marine Fisheries Service. Now, just to give you a little background on this, they are responsible for enforcing the Marine Mammal Act, fisheries laws, and what have you. We get Admiral Lautenbacher. Now, you know about the SIRTAS. You hear a lot of the times that the Navy wishes to use sonar, and it is impacting whales and other marine mammals. Now, why would you name Admiral Lautenbacher to the top of the National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration when he is a vice admiral, a formal vice admiral in the Navy, and had great doings in the everyday function of the Navy? So why would you give NOAA the responsibility, assign him to head that? Maybe that might be a conflict. I don't know. But under him now, or was before he resigned, or if he's planning to resign, I think, or don't know the updated status, but here he's in that position. So we look at NOAA, and we'll stay local here, the National Marine Fisheries Service. Now, we know the dangers of nepotism, but the problem is, just in the Pacific Islands Regional Office, we had three husband and wife teams working in NOAA, or the National Marine Fisheries Service. Now, that seems like a great conflict. The top person had his wife here working under him, or not directly under him, but on staff. And two others are working here with their husband and wife team. Now, I'm not saying that they are guilty of anything, but it just doesn't wash. It just doesn't hold up. Now, what does that have to do with the resources? Well, you can figure that one out. If the rest of the world is worried about nepotism and conflicts, then I shouldn't have to explain all of that. But how is it that the National Marine Fisheries Service abandoned that concern when it came to their office? So, once again, does it influence the politics, their scientific decisions, their professional positions, and their aggressiveness on whether they work on something or not? Well, what does this have to do with anything? You see, under the National Marine Fisheries Service, there is the Marine Mammal Act. And in the Marine Mammal Act, there are marine mammals, such as the Hawaiian monk seal, which is one of the most endangered species of mammals, marine mammals, in the world. Now, there are others in the Mediterranean, the monk seal there, that is having a problem. But here, I arrived here 20 years ago approximately, and I was told there's 1,200 monk seals. Today, they're bantering the number around 1,200, but I'm told it's even less than 1,200. So these animals are on the brink or the doorstep of extinction. That means that once they're gone, there will be no more. Lights out. So how does this working relationship with sewage, with DLNR having inefficient management or poor management, how does that play or influence the resources, and what relationship does that have to do with monk seal? Well, we now recently have learned, just in the past week or so, we lost a baby monk seal. And follow me closely, and if you don't understand it, please feel free to call me, and I'll explain it. And if you want to call in here, it's 524-1080. Now, what happens is that we've lost monk seals. And why are we losing monk seal? Well, we know some have drowned in nets, in gill nets. And here recently one died, and the necropsy was inconclusive. But they say, the federal government scientists say, they're going to look at the toxins in it Well, I don't know of many toxins out there, and if there's that many toxins in that substantial level, or that would be toxic, that would kill monk seal, then I think we should have heard alarms and we should have had an aggressive attempt. But what I suspect has happened, they know that the monk seal, the pup, died from drowning. Now, they say the body and the decomposition was, at the stage of it, was inconclusive. But I can only tell you, here's the problem. These animals are being transplanted here by the National Marine Fisheries Service. And so we're having some, if you're trying to call in, again, the number is 524-1080. We're losing you when you call in, but please try again. Anyway, what is happening is that they bring the monk seals here, they being the National Marine Fisheries Service. They release the monk seal, and they release it near Rabbit Island. Now, you figure this out. Why on earth would the State Department of Land and Natural Resources permit the use of gill nets or lay nets, and in turn then bring pups, monk seal pups, to the area and release them, right? Release this young pup, and in turn you're allowing gill netting or lay net. So that brings me to a bigger point. If the State Department of Land and Natural Resources is providing or permitting, allowing the opportunity or encouraging the use of gill nets, then they are culpable because they are authorizing a practice that has the potential, well, not the potential, has demonstrated that it will kill monk seal. So why haven't the Department of Land and Natural Resources sought under the Endangered Species Act a permit or a consultation that would be describe or talk to the negligible impact? They won't do that. In 2004, they attempted to do that, or started, because it is required, but then they dropped the ball. Nothing happened. So the National Marine Fisheries Service should have enforced or required the state to seek consultation under the Endangered Species Act and the Marine Mammal Act. And they don't permit the incidental take. You'll never get that authorized, but the state is authorizing people to use jet skis and do all of this activity, use nets. And yet, here's a young monk seal that, having no idea of what this is, and he's attracted to it, and voila, he's entangled, he drowns, and no one say anything. It hits the newspapers, the DLNR talks about it, and in turn they tell us the sad song, and the National Marine Fisheries Service go through the same motion, and yet we're stuck. And these animals are declining in numbers in such a rate that we really don't know the real number. So there has to be something done about this. And if each agency has gains or dysfunctionality, a degree of dysfunctionality in their agencies, nothing is going to get done. So all we're going to see is another monk seal or another dolphin or another marine mammal washed up on the beach that is dead or drowned or injured. We have a call. Bill, are you there?
Aloha. I'm kind of off the wall. I just wanted to mention something. Are you quite familiar about the subject you brought up a while back on EPA sanctions on the use of chlorofluorocarbons?
Uh-huh.
The atmosphere in Hawaii, with the fog that we have, is Mother Nature's discharge of sulfuric dioxide and hydrochloric acid. And I notice a lot of people have been having trouble with breathing. Also, they're having a lot of body parts, joint problems.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering if that was related to the fog that we have. And also, on a light note, the subject you brought up a while back on the city and county discharge of CFC without any regulation from the EPA. The fine for discharging freon gas is $30,000.
Mm-hmm.
And a person that discharges it pays $20,000 each discharge. I don't know if you got paid. But I was wondering about all this pollutant in the air. You know, speaking about air, sea, and land. Makes me wonder, too, that even if we had the particular ways of controlling our environment, we have the idiots going up to the moon, building a space station, and punching through the stratosphere that caused our shield around the Earth to have infrared rays come through these holes, and they ought to put a moratorium on space travel. And I strongly believe that this current type of, they claim, greenhouse effect has to do with Mother Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Because Mother Earth controls his own self within his own limit. But when you have someone punching holes in your stratosphere, you open a door to all kind of sun penetration with infrared rays that causes the Earth planet to shift.
Right.
We have to look more carefully at a particular situation. And I feel that one day Hawaii might be under the water.
Well, that's the predicted result at this pace. And, you know, I don't know if we can attribute it all to man, but I can say that we had acid rain, we have acid rain, and all of those things. And some would be due to natural occurrences, but man is to be blamed, or woman, or whomever, children, is to be blamed because our practices. And what you're saying is quite plausible, many of those points. Regarding the CFCs, there really is no aggressive enforcement of CFCs and the emissions of CFCs by EPA.
I went and took the license for the EPA in 1994. The fines are in place. You have to videotape the discharge in order to have the actual footage. But, you know, on a lighter note, here in Hawaii, before you came here, I don't know how long you've been here, we had 1977, we had heptachlor in our drinking water, in the milk of a cow. And they discovered that they used heptachlor for the particular pineapple fields to control ants. And in the sugar cane, they had a thing called sauvignon and DDT. And they used oil on top of it to make it keep and last a little longer in the fields. These have worked its way down into
the water.
Area. And I'm concerned about the children and myself that drank milk and the state not monitoring the people. We have a high case of dialysis. We even had cases on Kauai where Hurricane Iniki hit and they had chlorine in the pipes for a long period of time to purify the water. Now, you and I know that once chlorine goes in there, it never gets out. And these are subjects that I'd like to hear somebody from the Department of Health speak about.
Well, I tell you what I'll do. This week, I'm going to try and get someone from the Health Department. Remember now, they are a shy bunch of folks. They only like to talk through their public relations people. They don't work for us anymore. They work for the governor, and they don't work for us, and I'll just tell you. But I will try and in fact, have a request in for some of them to talk. But I got four more callers, Bill.
Thank you very much.
But keep in touch, and then I will ask, and if you don't, keep nudging us. I will definitely be asking them to come on.
Thank you.
We have Nancy. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Yes, your comments?
Yeah, question? I have a comment about what you said about the Sand Island Sewage Treatment Plant in Senegal.
Mm-hmm.
My question, it's not really a question. It's just a statement. You know, how dare the mayor sue the federal government, the Environmental Protection Agency, so that he does not have to bring up the plant to environmental standards because it is too costly, and yet he will spend billions of dollars of our tax dollars for a train to nowhere? You know, what about fiscal responsibility now? We need new leadership at this absolutely critical point in our fragile economy. We cannot be spending billions of dollars on a train like this.
Especially in this economic meltdown.
Exactly. And I would like to say we need to choose very carefully in the voting booth coming up. That's one point I wanted to make. The other one in regards to your comment about the monk seals and dying in the water and the role of the seal star. I got checked last year, and on Oahu, I was told by DLNR they have 40 enforcement officers, but only some of these people are actually performing enforcement duties. Some of them might be in training or working in administrative capacity. Some might be on vacation or sick leave. And the few that are remaining, they're supposed to be patrolling our resources. Well, very little time, obviously, of their schedule can be devoted to gillnets. So how many officers are needed to monitor each and every gillnet for 4 hours?
Right. Well, when they're sitting around at the palace doing security guard work, God only knows. And that brings up another point earlier in some other shows. You may have heard me talk about how embarrassed I was, how they attacked the Honolulu Police Department, and yet it was all done to shield their inefficiencies, there being the DLNR. And still, again, I hope that one day Laura Thielen, would actually publicly apologize to the Honolulu Police Department. They did not deserve that type of ridicule or criticism. But anyway, I have another caller on. But anything else, Nancy?
I don't know. That was it.
Well, thank you. And keep tuning in. And if you want to call in, 524-1080. This is the Carol Cox Show. Over the last week or so, I came up and started talking to Ross's Appliances. And you'll hear more from them. But speaking of environmentally spirited and some of the practices here, you know, we're on an island. We have issues of shipping out trash. We have issues of just recently the landfill was expanded or was allowed to not expand, but extended the time of operation by the state. But there are some people out here that's doing something that's worthwhile and needs to be mentioned. And I'd like to highlight that. And they are coming on board you'll hear them being on some of their commercial spots in the future. But that's Ross's Appliances. And what they've done, they have, if you know about landfills, it's a limited space. And one box spring or mattress can be a big problem. Consumes a lot of space and is difficult to compact them. So Ross's, Tyler there at Ross's, has come up with this bright, innovative idea of recycling mattresses and box springs. And this is where we can do, by dealing with local businesses, we can do a good, divert a lot of these mattresses and box springs and reuse them. And Tyler of Ross's has come up with a program, and it's quite efficient. And in fact, I have him on the line now. But Tyler, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Good morning.
Morning, Carol.
All righty. And as you can see, I just, when I was there at your plant, I was excited seeing that we are going to be diverting and it's not going to be going. So tell the public what it is that you have out there.
You know, Carol, what we've done is we went to Los Angeles and we bought a lot of bed manufacturing equipment, tape bed machines, and we took a crew into Los Angeles and we learned how to make beds. You know, what's been happening, the springs are good, the wood is good, and all this stuff has been ending up in the landfill that's unnecessary. And so what we're doing is we're stripping the beds down completely, tearing off all the old fabric, and then building them back up with new fabric. And what you're getting is a beautiful bed for about half the price of new.
Mm-hmm.
And they're real nice. We call them the green beds. It's the Green Bed Factory at Ross's.
And where is your, what is the address? I don't know the address. It's in Kalihi. Where exactly?
We're at 401 Mokulea Street, just mountainside and Nimitz Highway. We have all the beds there at Ross's. All to show you. Also, you can come and see the factory, take a look through it, come see how your bed's built. We tear them down, we inspect them, we sanitize them. Not every bed's able to be rebuilt, but for the most part, they are. The ones that can't, we pull the metal out, and the metal goes for recycling. We pull the wood out, and the textile fabrics, the fibers.
And you had mentioned, you showed me that you had a lot of wood, and you'd like to try and recycle that, and you had offered that if anyone was out there, you want to mention?
As part of our, the part of the whole completing the recycling circle, there's a lot of the box, not a lot of them, maybe half of the box springs, they aren't rebuildable.
Mm-hmm.
And so there we tear the springs off, and the springs go to the metal, but we have an ongoing source of wood from the box springs, and rather than that going to H-Power, I'm looking for recycling partners, maybe somebody that can use a continuous flow of wood. I know there's got to be somebody out there making chopsticks or wooden spoons or something that can use this lumber, and it's free. I'd just like to make some type of a deal with somebody that they come by and pick it up daily or every other day, and it's a good source of recycled material that can be used rather than go to H Power. Also, the cottons, the textile, there's cottons and there's foam, and I just think that there's somebody out there that can use this and build some type of product that'll be good for all of us, the sustainability,
mm-hmm.
Issue.
Yeah, one of our callers earlier, Bill, had asked, and I had intended to share with him that you were going to be calling in, and he had asked about CFCs, and why don't you share with the public what it is that you and what's the other company that you work with in reclaiming the CFCs?
Oh, we're talking about the Freon.
Right.
Oh, refrigerant recycling. Ross's has been rebuilding appliances since 1976,
mm-hmm.
Keeping thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of appliances out of the, I don't want to say the waste stream, but out of, from being recycled. They're being, good, usable products, saving people a lot of money. We use refrigerant recycling. We were licensed, we are licensed to do Freon, but it's just much easier to have relationships with companies and let them do the Freon and where everything's documented and everything's in order.
Mm-hmm.
Much easier to deal with and control.
Mm-hmm. And so you're actually, when there's a refrigerator that you can't rebuild, you then deliver that refrigerator, or they pick it up and reclaim the gas and recycle
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
So it's not, as Bill had mentioned and had some concerns, and they're bona fide concerns, and they're not being vented.
No. Venting's, it eats holes in the ozone layer. We don't need that. It's this climate change and the poles melting and all that, that's a major problem, a real problem. And we're a long-term company. We definitely don't want to contribute to that. We'd rather be part of the solution than the problem.
Right. And so your whole thing is geared toward recycling, reuse, and diverting it from the landfill.
Exactly.
And getting an extended life. Well, that's really good. And I have seen your process there, and I'm aware of it over the many years. But to see it and see it happening and to see air conditioners and refrigerators dumped alongside the road, knowing that they can be properly handled. I applaud you and refrigerant recycling and others that are actively involved in diverting and reclaiming this gas.
Carol, just last week, the Marine Corps at Kaneohe, they were going to send 400 mattresses to the landfill. And they had called us and said, can you take these and can you recycle them? And we did, And we've, you know, we tore them down. They weren't much use, but we tore them down, and the materials went in their various places, but they didn't end up in the landfill. And that's big. 400 mattresses in one swoop. The hotel's in Waikiki. Now a hotel can take, a 300-room hotel is about 500 bed sets, and that is an enormous amount of a bed at one time,
mm-hmm.
And the space that it takes up. Now, what we can do is we can take those beds and we can recover them and get another 5 years' use out of them,
mm-hmm.
and just, you know, and it's just good practices all the way around.
Right. And so to make it clear that what I witnessed was that you actually using brand new material, virgin material, to when you can't reclaim or reuse the covers on the mattress and what have you. And folks, if you get a chance, stop by there and see Tyler. And Tyler, what is your phone number there in case, or you have a website that facilitates?
Our website is just being built right now. It should be up by next week. It's called thegreenbedcompany.com. Excuse us if you go there and it's not up today, but we expect it up in the very near future. At Ross's, we're, you know, our phone number over there is 841-7336.
Mm-hmm.
We're in Kalihi. We're very open about what we're doing. We're proud of what we're doing. We love to show it off because it's really something, boy. It's mm-hmm. substantial what we're doing, and again, boy, it's just we're really proud of it. So, anybody, please come on down and take a look, see, and boy, you'll be kind of impressed by what we're doing.
Now, you know that if you don't hurry with that website, people are going to have to go and buy new mattresses and what have you. So, you better get moving and get up off that mattress and quit laying around.
Okay, Carol.
Okay, well, thank you.
Hey, sir, thank you for your time, and everybody listening, you know, come on down to Ross's, and we're, you know, take a look, see, we're just trying to help help ourselves by helping everybody else.
Okay, well, Tyler, thank you, and appreciate you calling.
All right, Carol, bye-bye.
Aloha. Bob, are you there? I've got Bob on the line.
Yes, I am, sir.
How are you?
Real good. And thank you for bringing Mr. Tyler on. He was like a breath of fresh air on Hawaii. I mean, he just came down. Because I didn't realize what, you know, his company was. You know, I just knew him as a retailer of certain things, you know.
Right.
When he explained what he's doing, I wish he would get, he would be a contagious person and put it on the rest of these businessmen and the state of Hawaii. You know, his enthusiasm and his intelligence and the way that he's going forward with the green revolution. You know, he's one of the pioneers. He should go down in history as far as I'm concerned.
Well, yeah, two things that are really problematic in landfills, automobile tires and bed springs and mattresses.
I got a recycling program for automobile tires, but that's just, I'm in the same place as Mr. Tyler, but like you're saying, the automobile tires are the millions we have here. They have nothing to do with them but burn them in the 8-power, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's toxic fumes going up into our atmosphere. It's just one thing after another. Hawaii has all the tools. Is that thing Ross? Is he the owner of the company?
That I don't know. Tyler, but...
That is his first name, Tyler?
Tyler.
Yeah, yeah. Well, him, you see, he has the idea that every retailer in the state, you know, there is so much, you know, raw material that's being, you know, either burned or shipped to Indonesia, the material... It's just we are wasting all of our resources. It's a sad, sad situation because the landfill, where are we going to put the rest of the stuff?
Well, what this means, Bob, is that our mayor, our governor, our legislators should be more aggressive in providing real hands-on and incorporating. Just recently, in the last 2 weeks, I think, they had a recycling fair.
Now, about 10 years too late for this ad.
Yeah, what a waste of resources and money. It's always about showing us the nonsense, how they make clothes out of beer cans and plastic bottles, when in fact there are people like yourself, Tyler, Refrigerant Recycling, Snitzer Steel, Island Recycling, Island Demolition, and all those people. They are doing it, man, and yet they're having to struggle.
Yeah, the state doesn't give them help. You think they lather through every kind of you know, you break the dignity of these guys. You know what I mean? They're helping the whole island, not just themselves.
Right.
Here's where they make money. Hey, profit is what is happening. But when they can turn them things over, like, that wood, I think I'm going to contact you. I might have a good resource, you know, to use that wood. I got people, you know, you get jobs out of that. You know, the Green Revolution is what this island should be looking at. And if they're not, like the politicians like Mufti, you know, 15 years ago when I was in the mainland, on the curb side, they had a blue can, a brown can, and a yellow. They had different color cans for different things, different color bottles, the paper. You know, they had recycling down. This is in L.A., and we're so far behind the curve. It's just like, it's a crime almost.
Right. Well, you know, Bob, I had a standing invitation to Mayor Mufti Hanneman to come on the show, and we don't rank. Our level of rating is not, sufficient.
Yeah,
but I am going to try, and I've invited Ms. Kobayashi again, and
I told her to come on your program the next time I see her, okay? Because I'm campaigning for her. When I see Ann, I thought, hey, this guy, Carol on K108, get on his program, and you know, and especially because she's on the green, you know, she got off the rail, right?
Right.
You know, she was for the rail, you know, what, rubber on concrete or whatever, but now it's no more rail, just the fast lanes and something that doesn't, you know, gobble up our land and destroy our environment.
Well, you know, I guess politicians aren't to make promises, and they shouldn't make promises when they're campaigning, and you don't count the chickens before the eggs hatch, but ideally, and I've had friends and the public to tell me, you know what would be ideal? We could remove Mufti tomorrow morning, wouldn't miss any of his rhetoric, any of his nonsense, any of the big budget, any of these fancy articles in the Honolulu Advertiser touting him as being the man of the hour. But when in fact, if we had, and this is, I was told that here's a dream team. If Ann Kobayashi could name, or would name Panos as her director, things would get done. For me, it's a feel-good thing, and I'm not sitting here advocating for him or her, or, as I say, if Hanneman could show me better practices, like the Senegro thing. I mean, he stands up in his State of the City address and touts about Senegro diverting 8,000 tons of sludge from the landfill when they're over here operating and don't have certification or classification.
Yeah, they diverted from the Alto, but it went somewhere. They probably dumped it in the ocean. You know what I mean? Somewhere. You know, he said, "Oh, we solved the problem," but they really didn't. They just shipped it to another, you know, another place that we don't know about.
Let me tell you something. Just recently, the Land Use Commission just ruled that Ko'olina boat ramp has to rebuild a boat ramp that it tore down, that the public had use for, and it was part of an agreement, a formal official agreement, that they, in order to build and develop there, they had to provide a boat ramp. They tore that boat ramp down. Mufti Hanneman was asked by me personally, and you can go to a website, environmentwatch.org, and see the letters. He himself wrote back saying, after many months of refusing to write back, and declared that everything was done perfectly legal and there was nothing wrong. So, voila. Just last week.
Well, time to answer a thing that was legal. You figured you could call you up late that day and say, hey, don't worry about it, bro. Everything is all right. You know what I mean?
Well, I kind of wish personally we had that train that in place right now, or that mass transit, so that everybody could vote.
That mass transit.
Well, no. Let me finish the sentence now. I'm not saying I'm for the man. I'm just saying.
I know you're not.
But here's what I'm saying. If we had a mass transit system, it would be ideal right now so that everybody could hop aboard and ride downtown to their voting booth and vote this guy out. Because, you see, I am so sick and tired of reading the articles, and it's like, is this a movie star or is this an entertainer? What is this, you know? When, in fact, here we got the worst economical meltdown, and we're bailouts and buyouts, and he is still insisting that we look at the rail. We don't know where we're going in the next month financially, how it's going to impact us all. And he is still standing. Now, you know, there's what you call SOS, and I don't mean it's that creamy ground beef that they served in the military.
Yeah, right, on the shingle.
Right, that's not it, what I'm saying. This something's wrong, and if people out there are stuck on stupid as when it comes to this guy, Hanneman, and his efforts, He may be with good plans. And you look at some of his advertisements now. There's one he's talking about how he contributed to and how we need him because he's good for tourism. In the meantime, we're seeing tourism declining. At
70.
Yeah, right. It's tumbling. And he's bold enough to say how great he's doing with tourism. I'm sorry. I don't do drugs, but, you know, at some point to tolerate this, maybe we have to. But, Bob, let me ask you this. What's the name of your company, or how do we contact you? Or
I'm in the Waiholi Waikani Community Association.
Okay.
We're trying to go self-governance in
okay.
our valley, in the Waiholi Valley.
Okay.
Kind of negotiating.
You got a phone number?
I have phone number, yes. I don't want to give it on the air, though.
Okay, well, call me back and give
it
to me.
The phone number of my association, you can...
Well, let's go. Don't need any rocket science here now. We just got to talking about people not doing things. What's the number?
No, I'm in 100%. I just
okay.
want to talk for my president. And,
okay, well...
Our thing is, like I said, the self-governance.
Okay.
Then you will see an example of what Hawaii should look like. When you come to our valley, when we do get self-governance, because we got the land, we got the water, and we got the sea.
Okay.
But we've got all the ingredients to kind of make a... what Hawaii should look like.
Okay, well, give Ross's a call over there and talk to Tyler.
I'm going to call him later on today.
All righty, well, thank you.
All right, we'll talk to you next week, maybe.
All righty, Bob. Now, thanks.
Have a good weekend.
Aloha. Now, as you can see, we're going to go back now to talk about the disjointed, and so you have to thank Tyler and Bob and those folks for calling in. But what you can see here is that we have a bunch of people in government that are self-serving, wives and husbands working in an office, a mayor who argues that he shouldn't be forced to bring an upgrade, a facility that dumps sewage out into the ocean, which impacts the resources, the natural resources, and emitting gases and hydrogen sulfide, and he's fighting that when he won't even, he's contracting with folks that won't get certification and properly trained and licenses to operate a portion of that facility. Then you've got the DLNR, who is supposed to be running around and protecting and enforcing the laws, and yet you have the public saying, look, we need to get rid of this guy because of this agency and reconstruct. So we're at a crossroads here. We don't need more money. We just need common sense. We need some ownership. We need our legislators. They're giving money for... the various activities, Marine Patrol and what have you, but they aren't demanding any results. They're not demanding any work product. And so the governor, in appointing Laura Thielen to this, Thielen should be out there aggressively pursuing, as she's talking about prosecuting people for trespassing and burglary at the palace, she should be aggressively seeking consultation under sections under Marine Mammal Act Section 7 or the Endangered Species Act Section 10 and asking for an assessment. And if you don't get that, Ms. Thielen, you should refrain from allowing and authorizing the use of gill nets and lay nets. We can't afford to have monk seals or any other species, turtles, dying. Losing them is important. They are a valuable asset. So hope I didn't confuse any of you out there, and if I did, I apologize, but give me a couple more times at this, and there's just so much, but I appreciate you listening in, and if you want to pull this show up, you can download it at carolcox.com or the Carol Cox Show, our website, that's C-A-R-R-O-L-L, and I appreciate you listening in and calling in, and aloha.
Honolulu 1080 on the AM dial.